What will happen at the end of time? Well, when we read the Bible, it's very simple. When Jesus comes again, there won't be any warning signs before he comes. Everyday life will go on as usual until that time. The Bible says that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. When Jesus comes, all the dead will be raised from the dead. The Bible says in John 5, 28 and 29, that both the righteous and the wicked who are dead will come out of the graves. And then the Bible says that everyone will be judged when Jesus comes again. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14, verse 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. When that judgment day occurs, the righteous will then go to heaven, and the lost will go to hell for all of eternity. And then the Bible says that the material universe, the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and this earth on which we live, will be annihilated. Everything material will be burned up. So the Bible is very clear. But when we turn to the doctrines of men, it gets complicated very quickly. Many people say that there will be signs before the end. Many people say that there will be some kind of rapture in the future, a snatching up of Christians from the earth. They believe that when this rapture occurs, there will then be 7 years of great tribulation, unlike anything the world has ever seen. They believe that this will be worse suffering and worse tribulation than the world has ever known. Now, Jesus plainly said in Matthew 24, verse 21, that the worst tribulation that the world has ever seen or ever will see took place in A.D. 70 at the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, all these passages are very, very clear. They're easy to understand. And the Bible doctrine of the end of time is very simple. It all occurs in that last great day. But this teaching that we're looking at in the Bible oftentimes gets buried underneath the doctrines and the commandments of men. And so we want to delve a little bit more into some of these popular ideas today. I'm looking at a book that talks about the idea of premillennialism. Now, that big word describes many people in religion today. The last part of the word millennial, refers literally to 1,000. And it's the idea of 1,000 years, 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon the earth. Now, in the next series of lessons, we're going to look at that idea. But for right now, I simply want you to notice what this word is and why it is called premillennialism. The word pre means before. And most people who believe in 1,000-year reign, in other words, most people who are millennialist, are also premillennial. Now, why do they call themselves premillennialist? Well, because the word pre means before. So they believe that before the 1,000-year reign begins, certain events are going to take place. Now, those events include the signs that they talk about, the rapture that they teach, the rise of the Antichrist, the period of 7 years great tribulation, and everything that goes with it. So they believe that all those events will occur before the 1,000-year reign, and so they are called premillennialist. We call this idea the doctrine of premillennialism. It is very, very common. As a matter of fact, the majority of people who are evangelicals believe this idea very strongly. Now, they disagree as to some of the particulars, which is to be expected, but overall, that is the basic idea of premillennialism. Now, what we're doing right now is looking at this period that they call the Great Tribulation. And in that Great Tribulation, it is said that certain events will take place. Now, I'm looking at a book called The Millennial Kingdom, written by a very popular premillennial writer. And here's what he says will take place during that time. He says, "For the nation of Israel, the tribulation will be a time of discipline and purging in preparation for the coming millennial kingdom. It stands in contrast to all previous times of trial and discipline and is repeatedly declared to be unprecedented in its character and severity." Now, I want you to notice what he's saying here. He says, this is in order to discipline the nation of Israel. Now, it is true that throughout the Bible, God punished the people of Israel. Back in the Old Testament, God oftentimes chastened the nation of Israel to bring them to repentance. Sometimes it worked, many times it did not. Sometimes they repented, but oftentimes they hardened their hearts. So the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, and all the other trials that are talked about and prophesied about in the Old Testament were punishments from God upon the nation of Israel to bring them to their knees, to get them to repent. But what we find is that as time went on, God sent His Son into the world so that Israel would have the opportunity to be saved. But because Israel rejected the Messiah, the very Son of God, God said basically that He was through with the Israelite nation. And He said in Matthew 21, verse 43, that the kingdom of God would be taken from them, that is the Jews, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. Now that is Matthew 21, verse 43. And in those passages that we've already looked at, you find that God is saying that the Israelite nation, as they knew it and as they had had it, is coming to an end. Now that end came in AD 70 when the Roman armies attacked Jerusalem and they destroyed it. We call that the destruction of Jerusalem. That was God's final punishment upon the nation of Israel, and they have never been the religious nation that they were in Jesus' time. Now, what this book is trying to say is that all that is going to change in the future because God is going to chasten Israel even more during this great tribulation. And he says that this will be a time of unprecedented trials and punishments that God is going to give to the nation of Israel. Well, we've already referred to Matthew 24, verse 21, where Jesus said that the worst suffering for the Israelite people in particular has already occurred, and it took place in AD 70. That's Matthew 24, verse 21. But you see, what this writer does and what this doctrine does is to take something that Jesus talked about that happened long ago and apply it to something that is in the future. And if we're going to respect the Bible, if we're going to keep the Bible in its context, we cannot do that. Now, he goes on to say that because of all of this tribulation that he says is sometime in the future, that it is predicted, he says, that Israel's trials will bring spiritual revival to a portion of the nation and a godly remnant will emerge. Well, we ask the question, where is that predicted? Who predicted that? The Bible does not say that. The Bible does not teach that. Now, there are Old Testament passages, many of them, that talk about the Israelites being punished by God. And when they were punished and taken into captivity, they repented and God restored them to their land. But we've already seen that those passages were long ago fulfilled. And then after that, the Jews, the Israelite people, rebelled against God again and again, until God finally said that it was over. Now, this same writer goes on and talks about the Gentiles, and he says that during the tribulation, frightful judgments will be poured out upon the Gentiles, resulting in utter destruction of their cities and civilization, and leading to their complete doom at the time of the return of Christ. During the tribulation, a world government. Now, most people would say this is a one world government. He says, during the tribulation, a world government will come into being headed by a dictator of unprecedented evil and guilty of utter blasphemy against the true God. For a time, he will hold the entire world in his power, a satanic imitation of the true reign of Christ in the millennial kingdom. Now, of course, he's talking about what many people refer to as the Antichrist there that we dealt with in the previous lesson. Now, again, I'm describing what premillennial doctrine is about these things. And to continue, this doctrine says that this great tribulation and this one world government headed by the Antichrist will build to a point where there will be war between the forces of good and evil, whatever good is left on the earth. Remember, that they say at the beginning of this great tribulation, the good people, the Christian people, will have been taken up from the earth. They will have been raptured. And so whatever group of people, whatever number of people remain on the earth that convert to Christ during the great tribulation will then form the forces of good, and there will be this conflict, they say, this battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. They say that this will be the battle of Armageddon. Now this, the premillennial doctrine says, will be the greatest battle, the worst war that has ever been fought. It will truly be a world war. And they say that this will be fought just before Jesus comes again. As a matter of fact, some premillennial writers say that the war will still be going on when Jesus returns. And when he does return, then he is going to put an end to that war. He is going to defeat and conquer the forces of evil and put down the Antichrist and then begin this thousand-year reign. Now again, folks, when you just read the Bible and you read all of these verses that we've been looking at, it's hard to see how people can put all of these ideas together and come up with this story about the end of time. If you just look at what Jesus said and what Paul wrote and what Peter said about the end of time, it's hard to see, and I believe it's even more difficult to remember all of the details of this theory about the end of time. Now, the word Armageddon is used in Revelation 16, verse 16, where the Bible says, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Now, this word literally means the hill of Megiddo, which was the site of many conflicts and many great wars in the Old Testament. So this word came to be used as a symbol in Jewish thought of great conflict. It's like our word Waterloo or Pearl Harbor or more recently 9/11. Those words, those expressions bring to mind great conflict and great tragedy. So when you said something to a Jew about Armageddon, that would immediately get his attention and call his mind back to all of those wars and all of the bloodshed that took place in Old Testament times. Now, this word then is used in Revelation to symbolize the great conflict that occurred on AD 70 when the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem, which Jesus said was the worst suffering that the world ever had known or ever will know. And so as you read about Armageddon in Revelation chapter 16, and you continue to read into Revelation chapter 17, you find that the Bible plainly describes God's judgment upon the great harlot, the great whore, in Revelation chapter 17. It's this evil woman. And that woman represents the nation of Israel. You see, oftentimes Israel is represented in the Old Testament as being God's bride. And here, Israel is being represented as God's unfaithful, fornicating bride. And so the Bible tells us that this judgment is coming upon this woman, this harlot, which represents the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, being the capital. And we know that because the last verse in Revelation chapter 17 says, "And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." That great city is identified in this book in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, as being the city where our Lord was crucified. That has to be Jerusalem. So we've tried in this lesson to explain why you have the pre part of the word premillennialism. And in the next series of lessons, we're going to look at the millennial part and talk about the question of the thousand-year reign and what the Bible actually says.